In Bihar, India's poorest state, a group of women in colorful saris sing a song about Sri. Sri is another name for the Hindu goddess of wealth, Lakshmi. But these women are all farmers, and for them it has another meaning, SRI, the system of rice intensification. The song describes each of the simple steps involved in this novel way of growing rice, and ends by describing how it's transformed their lives.
Forty-five-year-old
Sako Devi says the SRI method has doubled and tripled her harvests of not only rice, but also wheat and vegetables. She says before, she couldn't grow enough food on her small plot to feed her seven children. But now, she not only has enough food, she also has money to send her children to school. So maybe that song really is about the goddess of wealth after all. After the performance, we walk into the women's fields of wheat and rapeseed grown for cooking oil. Agronomist Anil Verma points out one of the telltale signs of SRI farming.
Please come this side. You see how these branching are coming up. From one single seed, you are getting this much.
Each plant is about chest high with multiple stalks heavy with seeds, signaling a bumper crop. Verma says one reason the plants are so productive is that they're spaced farther apart than usual, to give each stalk more sunlight and room to grow.
If it was planted in the regular way, close together, how would these plants look different?
Very thin, and only single specks.
Only a single stalk coming up. And this one has, like,
lot of.
Other parts of the SRI system include better selection of seedlings, aerating and enriching the soil with organic compost, and using less water by keeping fields damp but not flooded, so microorganisms can flourish near the roots. The approach was developed 3 decades ago by a Jesuit priest in Madagascar. Since then, a vast network of grassroots promoters like Verma have been spreading the word, and an estimated 4 to 5 million farmers have adopted SRI worldwide. There's an international SRI resource center at Cornell University, and here in Bihar, the state government has endorsed the practice and set a short-term goal of 10% SRI production. Verma says there's a good reason.
The principles behind SRI is to get more with less, and that too in a sustainable manner.
SRI, he says, uses only a fraction of the usual seeds, water, and expensive synthetic fertilizer. Combined with its approach to cultivating deep, drought-tolerant root systems and moisture-retaining soils, SRI is often touted as an answer to the triple challenges of climate change, declining soil quality, and food security, all while giving some farmers more yield per acre than even the biggest farms. Sumant Kumar cultivates a few acres of land in one of Bihar's more prosperous villages along the banks of the Sakri River. He's a shy man in his 30s who recently became a local hero when he broke the world record for the highest rice yield ever recorded. We walk to the same record-breaking field as an extravagant wake celebrating a neighbor's long life fills the village with music. Sumant says he knew he was in for a good harvest, but he was shocked when the final tally came in. 9 tons of rice per acre, nearly 6 times the global average. Sumant says the lesson is that when you give the plant what it wants and needs, more space, more light, more fertile living soils, the sum becomes greater than the parts. It's like magic, he says. But that's just what many scientists think SRI is, more magic than a legitimate breakthrough. The International Rice Research Institute in the Philippines says Sumant's harvest was more than twice the maximum possible yield for rice grown in the local climate. There are also influential doubters in Sumant's own country. S.S. Singh is the lead scientist at the Bihar office of the Indian Council of Agricultural Research.
We are not involved, so we cannot verify those yield. That is the fact.
Sumant's record was verified by the head of Bihar's agriculture department. But Singh says when he went to Sumant's village the next year, the highest SRI yields he could find were only about half of Sumant's 9 tons an acre, roughly the same as rice grown with the latest conventional technologies.
There is no significant difference between best management practices and SRI.
Best management practices include things like hybrid seeds, targeted applications of synthetic fertilizers, and mechanization. These may cost more, Singh says, but they're also more adaptable to Bihar's varied landscapes and cycles of droughts and floods. SRI, he says, may have its place, but it's no silver bullet.
one component in a particular situation, not all component in all situation.
It's a tool in your toolbox.
Yes, yes.
But in an arid part of Bihar, near the famous Buddhist temple Bodh Gaya, farmers say SRI could mean the difference between eating and going hungry, especially when drought is becoming more common with the changing climate. Anu Devi says Minnie in her village laughed when she switched to SRI. But during a recent drought, she says her SRI rice, with its deep roots and spongy soils, stayed green while everyone else's withered and died. She says she's growing more food than ever in a way that doesn't cost anything other than her own hard work. As I walk back to the car with Anil Verma, the SRI promoter, we pass a group of women singing religious songs. Faith, Verma says, is part of the fabric of Indian life.
This is the difference between Western culture and Indian culture, no? Indian culture is based on belief, and Western culture is built on scientific base. So their relationship is mechanical, and here relationship is emotional.
Some scientists see that emotional relationship to SRI as evidence that farmers embrace it more like a religion than a science. But every farmer I interviewed here extended an open invitation for skeptical scientists to come and see for themselves how SRI is not only working, it's transforming lives. For The World, I'm Sam Eaton, Bihar, India.